This is the second Sunday after Pentecost. And here are the announcements for this week. First, to let you know that this Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, and in particular it is the day before the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so we will have our Holy Hour and Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 o'clock. This Friday, as I mentioned, is the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's the most important feast in the liturgical year. And in its honor, we will celebrate a solemn Mass at 9 o'clock in the morning, that's this Friday, with Vespers and solemn Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 in the afternoon. Next Sunday, the Mass resumes its normal time of 8 o'clock in the morning. After Mass today, since this is our first Holy Communion Sunday, after Mass today, those of you who wish may take photos of the first communicants in the chapel. And that will be followed by a reception in the conference room so that all of you may greet our first communicants. And those are the announcements. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, do not be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In this we have come to know his love, that he laid down his life for us, and we likewise ought to lay down our life for the brethren. He who has the goods of this world and sees his brother in need and closes his heart to him, how does the love of God abide in him? My dear children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 16 to 24. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to tell those invited to come, for everything is now ready. And they all with one accord began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, I have bought a farm and I must go out and see it. I pray thee hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them. I pray thee hold me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returned and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house was angry and said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Sir, thy order has been carried out, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and make them come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Now you remember, dear children, what I mentioned to you in the sacristy just a little while ago. Remember what I told you? Huh? We'll keep that between ourselves, won't we? Okay, good. The first thing I want you to know in these last instructions that I want you to have before you receive Holy Communion, the first thing is to tell you how happy I am to give to you on this day your first Holy Communion. And you know, I'm happy not only for myself, but for your parents, your families, your teacher, the father who taught you. All the people here are all happy for you. Father has assured me that you are all prepared to receive Holy Communion, that you've learned your catechism, huh? Good. Learn your catechism. You know all that you need to know to receive, and also you've learned your prayers. Remember I told you how important it was to say your prayers even today. Remember I mentioned that? Well, with that in mind, the first thing I want you to know is not so much what you must think, but what our divine Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ thinks. Because you see, our Lord, long before you were born, forever and ever, he thought of you, he knew about you, and he decided to make you. And he made you not, first of all, to give joy to your parents or to live in this world. He made you to live with him, to share his happiness in heaven. And so you can say that you are alive today so that you may go to heaven. That's your real home. And you must never think anything else, no matter what people tell you. Your home is in heaven, not here. This is just for a time to make you worthy, to make you prepared, see, to enter heaven. And the reason is because our Lord, who did not have to make you, did he? He made you because he loved you. He loved the idea of you. And he decided to make you, create you, simply because he loves you. And loves you forever. You know what the Bible says? It says about our Lord and Savior, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Nobody has done that. And that's why we say that our Lord and Savior loves you more than even your mother and father. He loves you more than they. And more, he came down to earth to save you from your sins. You learned that in catechism, didn't you? Remember how Jesus Christ came on earth and suffered and died and saved us from our sins? He suffered for you, died for you, so that you may enter heaven. And he loved you so much that he never wants to leave you, even when he went back to heaven. He left himself still here. He comes back again with each Holy Mass. And he stays with us, doesn't he? In the tabernacle over the altar, doesn't he? That's why we say this is really the house of God, isn't it? Because our God lives here, not like any other church. Our God lives here so that you can visit him always. He never wants to leave you. So much does he desire to bring you to heaven. But there are many people who are enemies of our Lord and Savior, who hate him, and who do not want you to go to heaven. They try to hurt you, to prevent you from entering the heaven that God has made for you. And so because of that, especially does our Lord come back to earth in order to give you all the helps you need to resist and to fight all of the dangers that are in this world and all of the temptations of Lucifer. You know who he is, don't you? The devil. You know who he is, don't you? You've heard about him. Well, our Lord and Savior, you see, gives you all these helps. He has given you what we call graces. Helps from heaven to strengthen you, to keep you strong and faithful. You know what else? He has given you his Holy Mother. Here, we see an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We say she is our Mother in heaven. And she is the one to whom our Lord and Savior has given all these gifts, all these helps, to give them to you. Because she loves you as her own children. And that's the reason why she comes to earth so often. To give you, you see, all these helps. But our Lord and Savior did not stop there. So, he came to earth. He suffered and died for you. Huh? He knows about his desire to bring you to heaven. And because of that, he has given you all of these gifts from heaven to assist you, to strengthen you, to make you faithful and strong, as I told you. He has even given you his Holy Mother to protect you, to guide you. But that's not all. He has finally given you himself. And that is Holy Communion. Because you know that the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, that's what we call Holy Communion, don't we? Huh? The sacrament of the Holy Eucharist is the sacrament of our Lord's body and blood, his true and real presence. All of him is present under the appearances of bread and wine. You know that, don't you? And you believe it. I know you do, because Father told me you do. Do you know that just by that alone, you know more than most of the people on this world? That makes you smarter than all of them, because you know the greatest of all the secrets that our Lord and Savior has told us about himself. He comes to you in order to be near you, to be with you, to be in you, to unite you, to join you to himself, so that he can stay with you always. And even when Holy Communion leaves you, his presence as the Son of God stays with you, and the Holy Trinity comes to live in you, so that you are truly children of God. And all of this is a promise that he will take you to heaven. And do you know what else? If you receive Holy Communion in the way I'm going to describe, he not only gives you his food to strengthen you, he not only is your friend, your best friend, and your companion, but he makes you full of his divine life. And if you are very devout, if you pray with all your soul, he even gives you a peek of the happiness of heaven. That's what he does. That's why people love Holy Communion. Adults say we get a foretaste of heaven. That means that even before you enter into heaven with Holy Communion, you get a little bit of a glimpse, a little peek into what heaven is like. That's what happens when you receive the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. And that is the reason, too, why when we come into church, what is the first thing you do, right? You take the Holy, well, then what? You genuflect, don't you? Right? To show that you adore our Lord and Savior, truly present here in our chapel, in the tabernacle. That means that you say before all the world, before heaven and earth, that you know that he is our God, who is all-powerful, who who made heaven and earth. When people receive Holy Communion, we say that they make a thanksgiving after receiving. And now you see why. Because people know, good Catholics know, how important it is to be thankful for this greatest of all gifts. When parents love their children, and when they die, they leave their children the best things they've got. They leave them their homes, all the money in their bank, all their possessions they give to their children to help them in life and to remember them, right? Someday, you will receive when your parents are called by God to go home to heaven. You will receive a memory of them, in pictures of them, in the gifts that they gave you that remind you of them. And our Lord, who is your best friend, when he went to heaven, he gave you the greatest gift of all, something your parents could never do. He gave you himself to be with you always. And that is the reason why good Catholics are always thankful for the beautiful gift of Holy Communion. So when you receive communion, and this is what I want you to know most of all, when you, dear children, receive Holy Communion, the first thing you must do in your soul, in your heart, is to thank our Divine Lord for coming to you. Because he didn't have to, but he wanted to, he decided to. Not because he must, but because he wanted it. You must thank him for giving you such a beautiful and free gift of himself to you. You must tell him you believe, because there are many people who do not believe in the truth of our Lord's real and true presence. They don't believe. And you know what's the saddest of all? Many people who did believe and don't believe anymore, because they have been tricked by the world, by the people in the world. So you must, for all those who don't believe, you must believe, and you will make up for all the offense that our Lord receives by the people who treat him unkindly, badly, disrespectfully. So you say, Lord, I believe in place of all those who do not. How much you will please our divine Savior when you do that. And you know what else? You must also tell him something that will make him very happy. You must tell him in your heart, not only that you know he is present with you, that you realize he is your God and your Savior, your Redeemer, but you must tell him as well that you know that he has not only come on earth to bring you to heaven, but he has the desire and the intention to do so. He will certainly bring you to heaven. All he asks of you for the happiness of heaven that will last forever, all he asks is that you love him in return. That's all he wants. And if you love him more than anyone, then you will do whatever he asks of you. And that's what you should say. Dear Lord, I want you to know that I love you in place of all those people who do not. Maybe you know some people who don't love our Lord as they ought to. And so you must say in place of all those, I love you in return, Lord. And more, whatever you ask of me, I will do it because I love you. And if you say such things to our Lord and you mean them, you can be certain that there is a place in heaven for you. And lastly, you must ask our divine Savior to protect you from all the attacks and temptations of the devil in the world and the people who serve the devil in the world. They are the enemies of the Savior. And you must be strong and resist them. That's why you must ask our Lord to protect you. And because you ask, he will protect you all the more. And don't forget to ask for heaven. That's why I have told children in the past, say to our divine Lord, dear Lord, you see, make me good. Make me holy and pleasing. And bring me to heaven. Because you see, heaven is for the people who want to be there. Our Lord doesn't bring you to heaven if you don't want to go. Everybody who loves the Lord wants to reach heaven. And that's why they ask him. Ask him to protect you. Ask him to bring you to heaven. And don't forget to ask for heaven for your parents. Our Lord has made it clear, hasn't he? He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. That's what he says. He wants you to ask him. Ask him for yourselves. And you know, of course, your parents are praying for you all the time. So does Father who taught you. He prays for you. The people pray for you. And you know, when you receive Holy Communion, they are thinking of the time when they received their first Holy Communion. You make them remember all those beautiful moments as you will himself, as yourselves. Remember this for all your lives, this very day, the best day of your life, the day of your Holy Communion. Many, many people who become old, and when they ask, what was the happiest day of your life? They will tell you, the happiest day of my life? The day I received Holy Communion. That's my best day, my best memory. And so your prayers today are very powerful. And you must ask for heaven for your parents, for Father, for the people who come here. Since our Lord loves the children the best. You see, he loves them very much. Receive Holy Communion then with all those thoughts in your heart. And you know, that's the reason why you all look so nice, so fine today, huh? The girls in their beautiful dresses and the boys, how handsome, huh? And all in white. Why? Because it shows how clean your souls are, ready to receive our divine Savior. If those things show that, imagine how much our Lord is desirous to come to you. They see you so ready, how much he desires to be with you. So, children, you receive Holy Communion with all those feelings, all those thoughts. You receive that Holy Communion like that all the rest of your lives. Frequently should you receive Holy Communion. Frequently. Even daily, if you could. To be united, joined to our Lord for all your life. And then you know, before you know it, in a very short time, because you see, even if you live to be old people, what is an old age? A person lives a long time compared to forever. And there's no end. That's why I say to you, in a short time, shorter than you think, all our Lord asks is the gift of yourselves to him. And before you know it, when you close your eyes for the last time in this world, in a moment, in an instant, you'll open them. And there you'll be, right in heaven. All because you have received Holy Communion, the way I told you. Well now, let us resume our Holy Mass. And you remember now, during this Mass, to do what I told you in the sacristy. You remember, huh? About your prayers. But we'll leave that between us, won't we? Understand? Just between us. And God bless you.